The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, very, very good morning to you, and I guess happy 4th of July to anyone who's celebrating in Israel.
I guess so. Chodesh Tov, happy 4th of July. There are people who celebrate 4th of July in Israel, and in fact, the very first 4th of July celebration was held in Jerusalem with the American embassy, of course, now being located there. Prime Minister Netanyahu was one of the honored guests at the 4th of July happy holiday party that was held at the American embassy. It was a few days ago, admittedly, not quite on the 4th of July, but nonetheless, a big splash was made of the event and, of course, of the celebrations in Jerusalem in particular.
All right. Yeah, amazing that indeed. Staying with America, Special White House Advisor Jared Kushner has revealed a little more about the peace plan that the U.S. administration is pushing forward in spite of some setbacks at the Bahrain Economic Conference. What more has been revealed around the U.S. plan, Anthony?
Well, I was reading with a lot of interest what Jared Kushner had to say. He was talking to some Arab journalists on a call, and he was being very, very cautious indeed, while making quite clear that the White House is intent on pushing the plan forward in spite of the fact that the Palestinian Authority decided not to participate in the Bahrain conference. And in fact, he had some quite sharp words for the Palestinian leadership, where he said that he felt that it was really not a good idea, that it was a strategic error on the part of the Palestinian Authority not to have participated in the Bahrain conference. He actually used the words hysterical and erratic and not particularly constructive to describe the Palestinian leadership's reaction to the Bahrain Economic Workshop. But he then tried very carefully to rebuild some trust between the American administration and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas in particular, where he said that, you know, the president has a high regard for Palestinian Authority Mahmoud Abbas, and that he, Jared Kushner himself, has a lot of respect for him, for the fact that he's devoted his life to making peace, even though he's suffered some setbacks along the way. But Jared says he believes in his heart that Mahmoud Abbas really wants to make peace, and he feels that the American administration can give him the opportunity to do so. And he went on to say that U.S. President Donald Trump is very fond of Mahmoud Abbas. So some quite interesting words, even though he also went on to say that he felt that the fact that the Palestinian Authority leadership had decided not to participate in Bahrain really showed them up to the Palestinian people, and showed the Palestinian people, and this is an interesting message that he's trying to send to the Palestinian street, showed the Palestinian people that the problem is not with Israel, but rather with the Palestinian leadership. That's the message that he's trying to send to the man in the street, the Palestinian street at the moment. But then, of course, he went on to say that they will be making more information known over the next few weeks about the proposed peace plan. And one of the hints that we've received from him concerns the issue of refugees, which is one of those big issues that's on the table from the Palestinian side in terms of discussing what happens with these tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees. These are descendants of people who were instructed to leave their homes in Israel during 1948, during that war of independence, and they went into these refugee camps in countries outside of Israel's borders, and those refugee camps have remained as is, as a type of pressure point on the international community and as a pressure point on Israel to try somehow to resolve this issue. And the countries in which those refugees have been located have never agreed to absorb them, the countries being Lebanon and Jordan and Syria and to some degree Egypt as well, but mostly Jordan and Lebanon and Syria. And those countries never, ever agreed to absorb those refugees. So those camps have just been perpetuated. And Jared is saying that the American administration and the peace plan that's being proposed will not envisage those refugees returning to Israel under any circumstances, and that the countries in which those camps are located will be expected to absorb those people. And by absorbing them, I guess we mean giving them citizenship and giving them rights as resident citizens of those countries, rather than keeping them as foreign refugees, which is what their current status is in the countries in which they're located. And as I say, it's not even the original people who left in 1948. Most of that generation have died out. It's now the children, grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren of that generation. So it's an interesting little piece of information that Jared has put out in order to try to set expectations. And I'm sure that the Palestinian Authority will not necessarily be taking this with a great deal of joy, but it does set the expectations. And by the way, this is something that Israel has stood very firm on during all rounds of negotiations that have taken place between Israel and the Palestinian Authority under all the different regimes that have been in control in Israel in negotiating with the Palestinians. And the issue of the refugees has always been one of those that really can't be moved around from the Israeli point of view, and the American administration have come out in support of the Israeli position on that right now.
And of course, the story will be one that we will be following very, very closely. The Israeli security services have discovered a Hamas explosives expert who entered Israel using a fake humanitarian permit. How does such a situation arise, Anthony?
Well, this is the obvious dilemma that Israel faces, because on the one hand, when considering Israel's security, there is always a humanitarian aspect to it. And, you know, one of the messages that Israel tries to get out there is that the Israeli administration, the Israeli government, and the IDF are humanitarian organizations. In other words, as much as they wish to safeguard the security of the state of Israel, they are humanitarians in the sense that they do have a sense of feeling concerned and responsible for the well-being of people where they need help. And this was a particular case of an individual who was recruited by Hamas with a particular objective of setting up an explosives bomb-making facility within the West Bank area, within Judea and Samaria. And then he managed to get some sort of a fake medical certification from a doctor, I guess, in the Gaza Strip, who concluded that this individual needed medical assistance that could not be provided within the Gaza Strip. And the Israeli authorities were presented with this, as they are on a daily basis, presented with medical cases that are worthy of people being allowed to move around, to travel in order to take care of medical issues. And this individual was granted a medical permit, a humanitarian permit, to allow him to travel to Israel in order to take care of this so-called medical problem that he had, which turns out to have been completely manufactured. And he was allowed then to enter Israel, which is exactly what he did. And instead of going for medical treatment, of course, he went off to the Arab village of Tiber, where he set up shop, and he began his activities in order to try to set up some sort of a explosive manufacturing laboratory facility within that area. So it is a good thing that the Shin Bet were onto this, as they are onto so many similar cases. There have been a number of arrests recently of individuals like this one who have come into Israel, who are undertaking terror activities under the very noses of the Israeli government and the IDF. But fortunately, the Shin Bet is onto it. And it just kind of makes you think about, you know, the way in which security is carried out in Israel in general. For example, when you turn up at the airport to travel to Israel, we have to think about that individual who is doing the security check and the responsibility that they have in order to weed out the people who come with genuine intentions from the ones who don't. And I think that that's a massive responsibility. And I think that we, as the general traveling public, need to be quite aware of the fact of the responsibility that these security individuals have when they look at us, when they try to ascertain our story. It's very annoying, and they go through our luggage and whatever they do, and we find it very frustrating. But this kind of a story just shows that they have to be very, very cautious in evaluating each individual case on its merits, and they have to really know how to get to the bottom of the story in order to keep Israel safe and secure as we would like it to be.
Absolutely right. Anthony, the 11th Jerusalem Festival of Light has been taking place over the past 2 weeks. So what is this?
So this is an annual festival that has taken place over the last decade or so. And these are air light exhibits that are set up across the city of Jerusalem, outside, outdoors, in the streets, in different locations. And you can move from one exhibit to another in order just to see what the artists have created, all using light and different aspects of light. And I was very fortunate to be able to visit the exhibition last night. Of course, it's only on at night time because obviously you can't get the effect of the light during the daytime hours. So you only have a very few hours during the night to be able to see these exhibits. And besides the actual exhibits themselves, some of which are really breathtaking in their complexity and the way that they use different colors and different angles to really create some amazing effects. But also there are some just very, very simple ones, like, you know, there was a whole series of laundry baskets that were kind of inverted over lamps and hung up in the Arab Shuk all the way along the one of the narrow alleyways that go through the Arab Shuk. And it was just different colors being transmitted through these laundry baskets that had just been turned upside down and put on almost as a lampshade and have created this amazing effect, or kind of lantern effects that have just been strung up. And they just look really amazing. And you know, the whole idea of light is so positive and is, you know, it kind of generates a certain atmosphere, which is really pleasing. But more than that, the people who come to this exhibition are just amazing. You see thousands of people walking through the streets of the old city of Jerusalem, around the walls of the old city, with all kinds of things being shown, being reflected onto the walls of the old city and to the walls of the various buildings. Some amazing use of different projectors in order to put light and to put all kinds of patterns onto buildings. This is an amazing event, and I've been fortunate to go along on a few occasions. Different pathways that you can follow through the streets of the old city, around the walls of the old city. Tens of thousands of people out in the streets, Arab speaking, Hebrew speaking, English speaking, French speaking. It's just a whole mishmash of locals and tourists who've come along to visit it. Of course, with Rosh Chodesh as well, a lot of attention on the Kotel, many, many people coming along to visit the Kotel over the Rosh Chodesh period. So overall, a fantastic atmosphere. It happens every year around this time. And for people who like that sort of thing, just to get a feel for the city of Jerusalem, to walk around with so many thousands of other people and just to experience these light exhibits, it's something that I would strongly recommend you have the opportunity, if you have the opportunity to actually take advantage of it.
That sounds absolutely, absolutely incredible. And it's this time every year.
It's this time every year, and you know, the artists who come along to set up these exhibits come from all over the world. They're not necessarily Israeli artists. They're people who come from all over the world to set up the exhibits. One exhibit, for example, involved a kind of a circus scene, and it had people who, you know, actors who were there, and they were wearing outfits that were entirely made up of glass shards. So the light was being reflected off them in all different angles, and they were posing for selfies and for pictures of people who came along. And it was just, you know, really just a fantastic atmosphere. So one that I can strongly recommend for anybody who's interested in that type of thing.
Sounds awesome. Time is about to go 8 o'clock. Anthony Rach, thank you as always. It is Thursday, so we'll wish you a Shabbat Shalom. And of course, we'll catch up with you on Monday, same time, same place. Yes, Zanati.